First, 2020 has changed a lot about our lives. One thing has stayed the same. We still need to eat. Seems like a lot of us have been changing up what and how we cook. And on today's edition of Food Friday, we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you been trying new recipes, or are you being drawn to tried and true comfort foods? What about the seasonal produce booming right now? How are you using that bounty? If you'd usually be going out to eat pretty often, are you trying to recreate any of those meals at home? Let us know at 800-642-1234. Are you finding comfort in cooking? 800-642-1234 is the number, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson loves spending time in the kitchen, and she's with me today to talk about it. Hey, Judith.
Hey, Rob. Good to talk to you.
Now, you find comfort in the kitchen. I think so do I. What have you been doing?
Yes. So it is kind of funny. I think I enjoy cooking more when I want to than when I have to. And it feels like it's been a little more have to in the last few months. We don't generally go out to eat that much, but I feel like we've definitely, you know, we've gotten takeout a few times. But we're definitely eating and cooking at home a lot more. And I do feel like I was getting in some ruts, but I did feel at first like, oh, I'm going to, you know, with working from home and everything, I'm going to do all these really complicated things. And that didn't really pan out yet, at least. But it turns out I am not alone. Andrea Trungale, who's an account executive at Wisconsin Public Radio, said early on in the pandemic, I thought I would use the extra time to experiment and try complex recipes that I don't normally have time to make. But ultimately, as the pandemic goes on, I'm appreciating having more simplicity in my life in general, and I'm seeking out simple recipes with minimal ingredients. And I actually think that that's a pretty common thing. How about you, Rob?
I've tried some new things and some more complicated stuff, but like sometimes the little things, like I've learned to make simple syrups, you know, to make iced tea or to mix into cocktails, things like that, great peach ones. And as always, I'm inspired by Food Friday, so I learned a new peach pie recipe after we did a segment on pies. I'm very suggestible, as you know. So yes. On Food Friday, somebody puts an idea in my head, and then often I'll go home and do it. Desserts I went to right away there, didn't I? Huh. I think that means something, too.
Yeah, maybe that's the comfort part of it. But I do think that I have more time to think about what I'm going to make. It's a little more intentional, I think, because we're also going to the grocery store less frequently. Also, I'm very fortunate I've had the time to spend in my garden, which means that I have a ton of fresh produce right now. Green beans. I planted way too many green beans, Rob, and not just green, yellow beans, purple beans, and green beans. And one thing I've been doing is picking a bunch and then blanching them and using, you know, it in maybe one, two, even three different batches. One thing I did was instead of just thinking of beans as a hot dish, I blanched them and chilled them. And then what I did was I made a simple vinaigrette with good, go ahead and make fun of me, Rob, the fancy French vinegar that you like to tease me about, some good olive oil and some Dijon mustard. Drizzle that over the beans and then put some blue cheese and some walnuts on top. And it's a delicious salad.
And I haven't done that this year yet, making fridge pickles with green beans, blanching them, just like you said, getting some vinegar in the game and then getting them in the fridge. And also I've been trying to take, one of the CSA things where we get produce every week, trying to tackle that right away when I get it on a Sunday. And that part of that has meant making more pesto. And so I'll just take that. And Molly Stentz, by the way, executive producer of The Morning Show, says they've been making so much pesto lately with their basil. And Molly's been experimenting, mixing in a jar of artichokes in the cupboard, making the pesto creamier. And I've been doing similar things like, I've got a little of this or a little of that. I'll mix that into the pesto and see what happens. And this is good. I used to think of pesto as this big production. And you could actually, if you got a blender of any sort, you can make it pretty quick.
Well, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you are cooking, or if you need some inspiration, maybe we can help, or maybe another listener can. You know, you talked about the CSA, and that seems like a lot of people are really focusing on helping support local farmers, first of all, because this is a tough time for them, too. Lisa Fisher, who's a director of corporate sponsorship for PBS Wisconsin, said, "Seasonal produce is the wind beneath my wings right now." Just visiting the farmer farmers market in my town is uplifting and stimulates all of the senses. Susan Scott, who's in membership at PBS Wisconsin, said, I'm loving local organic CSA produce right now. And she says Wisconsin was the start of the CSA movement. I didn't actually realize that.
I didn't either. We are talking on Food Friday about how we have changed our cooking during the pandemic, and we want to hear from you. We'll take your calls in a little bit at 800-642-1234. Have your cooking habits changed one way or another over the last few months? Are you making more complicated stuff, or are you getting back to more simple things? Have you tried new recipes, a new style of cooking, digging into a new cookbook or cooking website? And do you take comfort in cooking? And are you one of the many people who got into, for the first time or back into, baking bread, say, or keeping that sourdough monster that tries to take over your kitchen? Let us know your story. Or, as Judith said, if you need some inspiration, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And we've mentioned a couple of people, our colleagues we asked around Wisconsin Public Media. Here's another one. Andy Moore over on the TV side of things, a senior producer over there. He says, Andy says, I've rediscovered the art of barbecuing ribs like my father did when I was growing up in Kentucky. Northern palates equate rib perfection with the words falling off the bone. Southern grill masters consider falling off the bone to be hospital food. And he says, I'm getting closer and closer to the Q-fection of low heat, hours, and the resultant and just the right tug off the bone. Yeah, we just talked to a Meathead Goldwyn a while back about making the perfect ribs. I got to stop by Andy's place.
I think Andy should really be delivering, really. Yeah,
that would be the way to go.
So, Rob, you mentioned sourdough starters, and that was kind of a joke at the beginning of the pandemic that all these people were suddenly tending and taming sourdough starters. I have to say that a friend, actually coworker at PBS Wisconsin, Tim Schneider, who is also a friend outside of work, shared part of his starter with me. Rumor has it, I believe it's 34 years old, something like that. Its name is Herman, so I decided that my little part of its name is Hermione. So I have kept Hermione alive now for several months, and I've only made actual sourdough bread a few times because I can't get the timing right of, like, you have to feed it and then within a certain amount of hours you start the dough and then it has to sit and then you have to knead it, and I haven't quite gotten that timetable down. But what I've been using the discard, because you have to get rid of some every week, otherwise it just gets bigger and bigger and you have to feed it more and more, I've been making sourdough crumpets. And they are so good. All it is the sourdough discard. It's a cup of the discard, a teaspoon of sugar, a half teaspoon of salt, and a quarter teaspoon of baking soda. It's based on a King Arthur baking recipe. You do need the little rings that are for English muffins or for crumpets, but it is so easy, and they are so delicious. I've also been making sourdough crackers with the discard. It's equal parts discard and whole wheat flour, some butter, and then you can put any seasoning you want in. Caraway's been a favorite. Herb de Provence has been a favorite, and they're so good. They're a little more futzy than the crumpets, but... But both are just using the discard that you have to get rid of anyway.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Karen is with us in Osceola. Karen, hi.
Hi, Rob.
What do you want to tell us about?
I have to say, this is the first time I've ever called into a radio show.
Oh, welcome.
I felt like I wanted to tell you, at the beginning of Wisconsin's shelter in place, I wasn't going out to the grocery store, and I decided to institute what I called my daily pantry challenge. So what I had in the bottom of my freezer down in the basement were some frozen beets and some blueberries, and I ended up making blueberry beet muffins that, I know that doesn't sound so good, but they were fantastic.
I disagree, Karen. I love beets. It sounds awesome to me. How much could you taste the beets in the final product?
You know, to be honest, I couldn't taste them that much, but I have to say it made the muffin, the interior of the muffin, a delightful pink color.
I was going to say pink and blue. It would be very pretty.
Yes, yes. And I think young kids would really like this. That might be a sneaky way for moms to get good stuff in little ones.
Karen, thank you so much for sharing that. And I know we've talked about that on Food Friday, Judith, that whole pantry challenge when you don't want to go to the grocery store quite as much, or the grocery store might be sold out of the thing, that exact thing your recipe needs. people getting a little more creative with their cooking. I love the blueberry beet muffin concept.
I've actually seen on Facebook people who are doing kind of challenges of what's available commonly in food pantries and really helping people think of creative and healthy ways to use kind of those staples that are usually available. So that's a great idea, too.
Karen, thanks. Welcome to the world of calling into talk shows. Hope to talk to you again in the future. We'll go to Jackie with us now in Sun Prairie. Jackie, hi.
Hello. At the beginning of all of this in March, I bought 9 pounds of spaghetti pasta. And it's weighing down my cupboard as I speak. But I've also read a lot of pasta recipes, carbonaras and all of that kind of thing. And so I decided to experiment. And what I do is shred up a bunch of cheeses that I might have in the refrigerator, put olive oil in it, melt it down in the microwave, and stir that around, dress it on top of pastas, the pasta that I cook up, and then put in a in the cheese, I also put in a variety of stuff I have in the refrigerator, like oregano and basil, possibly garlic, definitely garlic, actually. and put that in the cheese stuff. And then the trick to this is take the hot pasta and put the cheese, which should be hot, in the pasta and stir it, and then put fresh tomatoes or whatever else I've got that look good. Sometimes I parboil some of that or stir fry it and put it in, and then put Parmesan on top of it. And it's a hearty, tasty meal. Now I've got to start thinking about maybe doing the noodles with some Asian kind of flavors.
Sounds fantastic, Jackie. Yeah. Thanks so much. And that's a great way to use. I mean, now tomatoes are big time around the state right now, Judith. That's a great way to use up a bunch of those, too.
Sounds delicious.
Thank you so much for calling in. We're talking about how pandemic life has changed our cooking, what we've been making this summer. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson is with us for this Food Friday conversation. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you have extra time to cook now, are you trying new recipes? Have you gotten into a new style of cooking, a new ethnic cuisine, say, from around the world? Have you found a cookbook that you're digging through, maybe one page at a time? Let us know if you've done something new and different in the kitchen or gone back to something old and comforting. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking about how our cooking has been different this year and what we've been making lately. Central Time executive producer Judith Sears-Poisson is with me, and you can be too if you call in at 800-642-1234. What is different about your cooking this year? Are you trying something new, something old that you're bringing back maybe? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to your calls now. Dennis is with us in Milwaukee. Dennis, hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. What do you got for us, Dennis?
Well, I got several suggestions here, but number one is if you're afraid of cooking, you get yourself an Instant Pot, and then you go on YouTube, and they will tell you how to do everything, including putting water in it.
Now,
I cook beans at only 30 minutes in my Instant Pot. I make a cheesecake in my Instant Pot. That's 30 minutes, and I can make any flavor except banana. And jam, I cook in a pressure cooker for 1 minute, and then I make my own freezer jam with any fruit except bananas. And pasta in my pressure cooker is only 2 minutes with a half a cup per, there's a ratio in there. But it's all on YouTube, and it shows you everything.
I got to ask, Dennis, I can't leave this mystery hanging. I get maybe why no banana jam, but why no banana cheesecake?
Well, I could make banana cheesecake, too. I'm sorry. I said that before. But, yeah, I can make banana cheesecake, too.
Right.
It seemed like there was a subtext against bananas there.
Dennis, thank you so much for sharing that. I know even pre-pandemic, people were really into their Instant Pots. I'm a crock pot guy. I know it's slower. That's what I got, though. I bet a lot of people are getting that one new piece of kitchen gear like that and getting into it, Judith.
I think so. Yeah. And well, for me, it's the crumpet rings. But yeah, and having a chance to kind of experiment. And, you know, I think something that Dennis said rings true for a lot of people. You might have more time now, but maybe for whatever reason, you didn't really learn how to cook when you were young, or it hasn't been one of your responsibilities. And a couple of our coworkers talked about how meal kits can really help. Mm-hmm. Wendy Dwyer, who works in corporate sponsorships for PBS Wisconsin, said she's sight impaired and doesn't drive, and the wait time on grocery delivery services has been a lot longer because of the pandemic. And she found a locally sourced meal kit service. Isthmus Eats inspired her to learn how to make things she would never normally attempt, like chicken tikka masala, Vietnamese beef salad, spanakopita, and other great recipes. And Katie in Audience Services said that pre-pandemic, they rarely cooked. Their teen children would complain about it. And her mother-in-law announced in March that she was going to subsidize a home meal kit subscription. And they were so happy with it. They're preparing complex meals. And the kids are saying, wow, these dinners have been good. You guys should open a restaurant.
We actually have also done a locally sourced meal kit. And sometimes the grown-ups make them. But the kids, our teenagers, have been cooking. They've cooked some stuff themselves, but it's great. They're learning how to make all kinds of different stuff, including that chicken tikka masala,
nice.
Strangely enough. Let's go back to your calls now. Lorraine is with us in De Pere. Lorraine, hi.
Hi. I have always loved Chinese food, but during the pandemic, especially at the very beginning, all of the Chinese restaurants in my area closed, and I just had to have hot and sour soup. So I went online on Google, and a lot of recipes come up. So the first time I made it, it didn't turn out as good as the restaurant, but it was edible. And the second time it was better, and now it is delicious. So you can learn that. And egg rolls, too. They're delicious.
Wow. So egg rolls, Lorraine, I hear that. I think, oh, that's hard. I would have a difficult time making them. Is it as hard as I think it is?
It's time-consuming, but it's not hard. It's,
okay.
You have to take the little glob of food and put it in the wrapper and then tuck it in like you're wrapping or swaddling a baby is kind of a good example. So I'm swaddling my egg rolls.
That sounds great, Lorraine. I worry, Judith, because I'm bad at folding and rolling. I can't fold a clean burrito to save my life.
Then you might not be up for the egg rolls. We make homemade spring rolls, so not fried, but the fresh rice paper wrapper, and they're delicious. The big tip there is don't overstuff it because it will not stay in, and you'll have an explosion.
That sounds great, Lorraine. Thank you so much. It's Food Friday. We're taking your calls about how your cooking has changed during the pandemic. If you're trying something new or going back to something old, you can join in on the Ideas Network Facebook page or call 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Arlene is with us in Burlington. Arlene, hi.
Hello there. I wanted to share. We live in a farming community, and one of my farming neighbors started a group on Facebook called What's Up Buttercup, and it has expanded so that if you try a recipe, you put it on Facebook, you put the recipe, you put a picture, and then everybody comments on it or tries it. She has an indexed group, so if you want to do, like, there's an awesome brownie mix in there, you make it all in a saucepan and just pour it in the pan and put it in the oven. So anyway, I want to make brownies, I go to dessert, and there's a picture of the brownie, and your neighbors have tried and true recipes from all the grandmothers and mothers, and it's just a good way to share neighbors' recipes, and you know they're going to be good.
And Arlene, does it make you feel like you're in touch with your neighbors, even if maybe you couldn't see them like you usually could?
Oh, yes, because, you know, maybe you don't know this person, but they commented on somebody else that you knew, and so it's like a community, but we're all at home, practically.
Fantastic.
So.
I love that, getting the community together, Judith.
Yeah, I love that. And I love being able to share recipes or tips or having other people. I have to say, I was thrilled to see so many of our coworkers send ideas of things that they're cooking because it's giving me all these great ideas, including you're going to hold me to this, Rob. Okay. So check in with me in a couple of weeks. Clarissa in audience services said she's been making her own simple cheeses this summer.
Wow.
Queso Blanco in particular is pretty easy to make at home, she says, and it's great to snack on or use as a topping on lots of different dishes. And that reminded me that Inga Wischer, who does the Around the Farm Table show on PBS Wisconsin, when she was on Larry's show, she shared a super easy recipe for making homemade ricotta cheese. I dug it up at WPR.org, and I'm going to try it.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks a lot for that call. Sandy is with us now in Green Bay. Sandy, hi.
Hi. So I love your previous caller who was talking about how she does spaghetti stuff. And it reminded me of the Japanese wafu pasta, where they take, the traditional traditional Italian pasta, and they put a Japanese spin on it. So definitely look that up. But the Japanese cooking is what I've kind of really been getting into over the summer. And it's just really interesting to learn about other food cultures and, you know, why they do what they do. And
Sandy, what's the favorite dish you've made from Japanese inspirations?
They have something called donburi, which is basically a rice bowl. And so you have all of these elements that you put in these meals, and it's, you know, taste and colors and methods of cooking. It's called washoku. And it's just really interesting. And so all of these elements are always in their food. And it's like it's all about balance and harmony and all of that stuff. So it's really interesting.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that, Sandy. I appreciate it. Judith, less than a minute left. Which inspiration are you going to take from our coworkers or our callers and make this weekend or
soon?
Oh,
man. Oh, well, actually, Lori Skelton, WPR music host and frequent Food Friday guest, says she lives in Madison. Her boyfriend lives in Milwaukee. They get together on the weekends, but they haven't shared a kitchen since March. And she shared Nigella Lawson's slow roasted garlic and lemon chicken recipe with us, and she said it's become their go-to dinner. It's easy, doesn't need to be watched, and she can send the leftovers home with him so he has an edible reminder of something shared. And I'm going to try that this weekend.
That sounds fantastic. Judith, thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun.
Always fun, Rob.
And thanks for all of your calls as well. You can keep sharing over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know what new thing you are cooking in this weird time.